Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
It's that time of week when LGBTQIA voices are heard.
This week we replay our chat with Black Box's Celestine from Bristol Pride.
Plus All Access Bristol Pride.
We chat to two of the group who signed the stages.
All right here.
In the next hour on Shout Out.
I don't know why we use that, because one of you could just stand in.
Well, why are you saying one of you? It would clearly be me. Thank you.
Wow.
I just want to check that I said the lovely, lovely... Hello? Hello? Hello?
Turning you down.
Wow.
Wow.
That is hurtful.
Well, as usual, you were glaring into the red, so I've just muted you
slightly. I've leant back, and what I was asking for was, did I correctly pronounce this lovely person's
Celestine.
Name?
Celestine.
Oh, Celestine. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she works with Dr. Mika as well.
Yes.
And what we didn't know is that she's Bristolian.
No, we didn't.
No.
In fact, I didn't know you were, because your accent is so subtle.
Wow.
I know. We knew, right?
Yeah, Celestine. I've heard Celestine on BCFM, Andrew
Have
Jima
you?
Radio. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, in the past. Yeah.
Okay. Well, she was a wonderful person to speak to.
Lovely.
There was lots of laughs, as there were with Sister Sledge. Everybody that came to speak to us, I think, had a wonderful energy. And, seemed to really enjoy our company, which it always makes a big difference, I think, when interviewing people.
Yeah.
In fact, I can't remember a difficult or
it will be lovely,
interview
prize. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the energy, isn't it, in that space. And I think they sense the love and the come-togetherness.
I think
community.
It's only...
Pride is an exceptional festival in that respect.
Yeah. The only time we have difficulty is when their agents refuse to have them on and they agree to come on. That's the only difficulty.
Yes, yeah. We've had that with several key players over the years, that their agents have said no.
Yeah,
but other than that, the artists themselves are always happy to talk to us.
I mean, even after a pint of gin, they're fine.
Yes, in any one case, I remember. Yeah. As you say, it's such a lovely energy. Pride, there's never any problems. You know, ask any police officer. It's a bit the same. We should celebrate the fact that the gay scene is almost totally without violence.
Yeah.
Ask any copper on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Here in Bristol, there's lots of arrests down at the harbour side, and where the cishet. Are we allowed to say cishet? Or is that?
You've just said it, and you've said it twice.
Sorry, what was that?
Population. But on the LGBT plus front around Old Market, it's remarkably peaceful.
Yeah, it really is.
We should celebrate that.
And it's where I have been when I have felt unsafe. I've always walked, when I first moved here, it was Old Market. Old Market Tavern, to be precise. That's why I got so friendly with the bar manager.
Yes, I know the chap,
the very handsome pirate-looking barman. If you're listening, hi.
Yes, he was on duty this evening. He's probably on duty now.
He was. Yeah. He was having a good chat with me because I couldn't decide what I was going to have to drink before coming into
what
the
did
studios.
You have? Tequila?
No, he didn't actually, but quite close.
Bailey's.
It was a Corona. Yeah.
How is that close to a tequila?
Well, it's alcoholic, and I don't usually have alcohol. Because they didn't have any really nice soft drinks. Like, Coke doesn't do
so
me any good, because it's too acidic.
Yeah.
Because all the phos acid in there.
That's
but,
right.
So I thought I'd go with a small beer. I didn't drink it all, but...
We need to, before we go into the next bit, we need to wish two lovely people a very happy wedding anniversary.
We do, absolutely. And that's why Andy's voice is not on the airwaves currently.
Yeah.
A happy anniversary to you both.
Happy 10
years.
10 years.
Incredible.
Yeah, Carl and Andy.
Yeah. It's amazing how how anybody can put up with somebody for so long.
It is lovely to see a loving couple, you know, together for 10
years. I'm just kidding. And they are, truly.
Yeah, it's lovely. Absolutely fantastic. So well inspirational.
Matched. It is.
Yeah.
Genuinely
Very well matched. Andy and Carl, wonderful.
Happy anniversary.
Okay. Right, we're going to kick off and go straight into our black box interview. This is just for those of you who weren't able to listen on the day. Because like last week's Sister Sledge, it was a really good interview.
I bet this interview is right on time as well.
How did you know, Terry? Oh, my God. Oh,
the joys of being a performer and being a mum at the same time. Les desperate to get on a microphone. So, hello.
Hello.
Hello to you. Are you cooling down a little bit now?
I am trying to.
So that was one hell of a performance.
Yes. Thank you. It was amazing. What an absolute pleasure.
So how did you find the Bristol audience?
Oh, just...
It sounded like they were all like totally joining in and...
Yeah, I could not have asked for a more responsive crowd. And I knew that I was going to get a good one with Bristol. This is home territory for
me. Is it?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I'm Bristol born and raised and still here.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so
no. I went to the NCGRE to research loads of stuff that never came up.
Wow, I love that. A bit of obscurity
that
didn't
is.
Hurt. Yeah, so I've just given you a little secret, but yeah, so I'm from Bristol. Dan is obviously Italian and living in Italy at the moment, and Ted and Murph, guitar and percussion, they are local as well, like Bath and I think Cheltenham.
Wow.
Because it was classed as Italian house, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, it still is. It's just that, like, the, you know, in terms of us as the... Yeah. As the players
I'm
are
picking up the Bristolian accent.
Oh yeah,
now.
It comes in certain words.
High five.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's great. You want to have a listen? So I've got my daughter Kenya here, and she's like, I think she's trying to follow in my footsteps.
She's got the
whether I want it or not. Just
going to
let them.
Going to be on the stage when she's a bit older.
Yes. So,
hello, can you hear me?
Hello.
All right. How are you?
Want to say hello? Say hello.
Say hello.
Oh, you've gone shy. Okay. Oh. Right. Then let me do the talking then. Okay.
What has been going on for you over the last year? Because just seeing you on the stage then, it was so electric, and I could see the way in which the audience just were with you. And I can't imagine what that's like. I'm not a performer. But what have the last few months been like? What's got you up to this point today?
Oh, wow. So up to this point, well, like I said on stage, that this actually marks as 10 years since I joined Black Box, and I actually performed my first gig here in Bristol with them. And so there's a lot of nostalgia, not just because of the music, but just because of, you know, it just feels like my journey with the band, and we're still going strong, touch wood.
Yeah.
And I still love, I just love the crowds that we play for, because it's just electric, and it's like you really see how you're connecting and affecting people. You really see what music has done, you know, and that's just absolutely amazing. That's why I do music, and this band is like a perfect example of how music brings people together.
It really does bring people together, and I think at the moment within the LGBTQR+ community, that's exactly what we're needing right now. Safe spaces where people just know, okay, so I can be here, whether that's with five friends or on my own, and there's going to be somebody by my side who's going to be enjoying this as much as
absolutely.
me, and that's why I can see here today.
Do you get a buzz out of it when you see the audience joining?
Oh, totally.
In as well?
I'm buzzing from like beginning to end, and then I'll be buzzing like for the next couple of weeks, remembering and beyond, because it's just such a wonderful feeling. I really get as much out of it as I hope the crowd do.
Oh, we definitely did. I was in the crowd. I was like, I have to be in the crowd for this moment, because I've listened to Ride on Time since I was like 10-15
right.
years ago, and that was my anthem back then. So we were in the crowd, and
you had to hear it. You had to hear
people
it.
People love it. I when you argued that down, I was like, thank God.
Oh my gosh, like, I have never wanted something so badly in my life.
No,
I'm joking, but in terms of, like, it would have been an absolute travesty to not perform on time. And I was just, I just said, look, take whatever you need to take off of the stage, start packing it down, as long as I've got my mic and you don't switch me off, we're gonna, I'm giving you right on time. Yes. We are giving you right on time. And
129 million streams that's had on Spotify now, that song.
Yeah, wow. So, isn't that something? Yeah.
I mean, it's still to this day played everywhere.
It's just an amazing song, really amazing song. And,
it is. It's
and like
banger.
I said, it's like it's one of those that, you know, I know that people are holding out for the whole 30 minutes. I know that. I appreciate that. I know, but like I said, if we didn't get to do Right on Time, I would be massively disappointed, and that that would live rent free in my head for years to come.
I think there would be a mass exodus from Bristol Pride too.
Oh my god!
Came all the way here and they didn't perform
it
that.
It could be literally Bristol Pride was great, but
like the thing is, like you still brought it every single song. Your voice is incredible.
Thank you. It carries
and it's so powerful. Every song you sung was quality. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Obviously, I would have been disappointed, but I would have been like, because it was, you gave it that whole performance.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's incredible. What does it mean? You said it's a full circle moment to you. I don't know if you've talked about this yet, but like, what does that feel like to have that full circle moment?
Let me let you down. Hold on.
Right, Kelly, you're going to have to get down. Got her beautiful baby on her lap.
Yeah. All right, go and find Nanny. Nanny. Okay, so I'm calling my mum to come and... Mum's to the rescue.
Mum's to the rescue.
So that full circle moment, I guess it's just, you know, a lot can change in the course of a year, months, days. A lot can happen. And... it's just really me being really grateful for, I'm still here. We're still together. We're still able to do what we love doing. And 10 years ago, I mean, I'll just tell you quickly. Basically, I got a phone call from my friend Murph, the guitarist, saying, do you know Black Box? And I was like, yeah. Well, are you available to come and sing for them, because their singer has pulled out or, you know, not arrived for the gig in Bristol, and we need somebody to come in.
My God. So you just got thrown in the deep end.
I got thrown in the deep end, and it was really deep as well, because whilst I said, yeah, I know the songs. Of course you know the songs, but put a mic in front of you. Do you really know the songs now?
Yeah.
So then, you know, I like got on stage. I left what I was doing, drove up to Ashton Court, and was just like, hi, formally met Dan for the first time, and he was like, right, let's do it, and we did it, and then 10 years later here we are.
Wow, that is so full circle.
What a journey.
Yeah.
I need to ask, because that's such a great way of putting it. You know, it's one thing thinking, I was just thinking, it's not the same thing.
It's not
when
the
I'm
same
like,
thing.
I think I know a song and then I do karaoke.
Right,
and then
that's
I'm like,
right.
I don't know this song.
No,
you and I'm just gonna.
You don't know it at all. Well, you're like, where did
karaoke.
That? You're like, where did that part come from in the song?
Where's the why didn't I know about this harmony? So I'm just wondering. Like, yeah. that's huge.
I had all of those thoughts going through my head for this 15-minute show with Black Box, and obviously they saw something and they heard enough to convince them to let me stay.
You can't regret it, surely, because where you are now.
No, but each gig that we do, it's kind of just really funny to think of where, you know, where it started, and it's such a funny story that all of us still, you know, connect with, and I just love that.
Where do you hope to still grow to? Because you still, it sounds like you've got so much growth in you, so much things to still do. Like, what is still up there for you to kind of accomplish?
I think that as long as these songs are reaching out there to the different generations, and we're still, it's still being kept alive by the generation that grew up with it, I think that we are just going to keep going and going until the wheels fall off, basically. and I mean, you know, if you want a jazz version, I can do that. I can do a sat down version of it. Yeah, I think
you get almost Sister Sledge. They're writing jazz at the moment.
Right. Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's also part of, you know, what my repertoire is when I'm not singing with Black Box. You know, I'm very versatile, so I'll go wherever. The
it's just music to
take.
You is in your heart, I guess. It's like what wakes you up in the morning.
Definitely.
So I guess whatever form it comes in is something that you're striving for.
And I don't think that people are tiring of Right on Time yet.
They are
so,
not.
I mean, you know, how many years later?
Honestly,
and it's like,
I'll be jamming to
still,
that.
I can still listen to that today. I still do listen to that today. I love it.
I love it too. And that's why, you know, that's also why I'm doing it. So
where are you off to next? If people want to
Okay, so
well,
next.
Because you do get fans that follow you around places, so where's
yes,
next?
Yes, we do. Well, funnily, this is quite a, it's quite a quiet year. So in terms of gigs, we've just got more kind of private things. There were some festivals that were happening that got, that unfortunately got cancelled. But I am going to be touring a lot this year with my other band, Dr. Mika.
Oh, who's, yeah. Who's, yeah. I knew okay. I knew you in
yeah,
Dr. Mika.
Yeah, yeah. Which is another Pride, I know a Pride yes, favourite legend, as well. Yeah.
And also so, a Bristolian.
And a Bristolian, yeah, yeah, exactly. So... So for me, I'm really busy touring there, and with Black Box, we're just going to keep, you know, as the festivals and the gigs come in, we'll take it and spread the love as wide as we can.
I'm not sure if you've said this, but like, why is Pride important to you? Have you discussed that
no,
already?
No,
yeah, why
no,
is
no,
Pride, like, what does
that.
It mean to perform to like queer people and LGBT plus people, especially well, in these times?
Well, I think that, and I say this with the utmost respect, but like, I don't know that it necessarily matters what I think, but how I feel is that I just feel so privileged to be able to share a space. I feel privileged to share the space for any group of people that are being marginalized, because I know what that is like.
Yeah.
So it's just I just feel an overwhelming sense of compassion, and also like we're all human.
Yeah.
So is there really that much to think about?
Yeah,
I think that's beautiful.
Same. Yeah, like it sounds to me, it's like liberation for you. Yeah. Like it's about like being free.
Let everybody be liberated. Come on. Yes. I mean, you know, let's all
when
be liberated.
When you're up there performing, it's all about the music and them all enjoying
Absolutely.
Themselves. It doesn't matter.
Oh my gosh.
Whether you're black or white, like, gay, lesbian, bi, trans,
I don't
they're
care.
All just
I
there
don't
enjoying
care.
The music.
I don't like, and when I say I don't care, like I said, I mean that with the utmost yeah. respect. It's not a kind of I don't care because I care about nothing. It's a case of I'm looking at you in the crowd and I'm making eye contact with you and we are connecting in that moment, and I don't know you, I know yeah. nothing about you, but my heart feels absolutely full, and it looks like your heart feels absolutely full. So right now we are the same.
Yeah, yeah. That's yeah. beautiful.
I think you've just made us all tear up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very I feel quite
an
choked
emotional
up.
Radio
oh,
moment.
No. Oh wow.
It, in the most beautiful I mean of ways, it. Though, because I think, you know, I go to a lot of gigs.
Yeah.
And there is a moment when an artist who I know doesn't know me.
Yeah.
I'm probably never going to meet unless yeah. I go to, you know, backstage, back door. You know, but when they look at me and sing, it feels like it's personal.
Yeah,
and it resonates, and you don't forget that. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's a second or if it's 20 yeah. seconds. In that space, mm-hmm. you feel an even bigger part of something that you're already a part
totally.
Of. So you're absolutely right. It's not about LGBTQI plus or anything else. It's about being a human being, connecting with a human being,
yeah.
and I think maybe just feeling seen
yeah.
and cared for.
Yeah, I hope
that's what
that
you did.
You do.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what you do.
Everyone gets from yeah. from a performance with us. I just hope that we do connect and continue to connect. As long as people are open to connect, then I'll be doing what I do.
Nice.
Well, you're never going to retire then.
I don't want to.
Do you have any social medias that people can come and see, like
yeah,
follow you?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So there's my own personal social media. Sorry, that was social. So on Instagram, Celestine Music, and from there you can find Facebook. Does anyone use Facebook anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, I do, but...
Sorry,
I do, but
no.
You know, so I guess for those who use Facebook, I'm there, Celestine Walcott Gordon. For those who don't, Instagram and such, Celestine Music. And there's also the Black Box Band, that is our official Instagram. And and if you follow that, well, yeah, a big shout out to Dr. Mika as well. Yeah. There, you know, people know
yeah.
Dr. And funnily enough, we're performing next week at Harborside Festival.
Oh, amazing.
Yes.
Okay.
So headline it. Yes.
We will be there.
There'll be a completely different outfit.
Nice. We were saying you absolutely slayed.
My
just
God.
For listeners, pink bodysuit, gold.
Pink.
I was dying.
Yeah. This fulfills, you know, big parts of my personality. Yeah. Like every band that I'm in fulfills a part of who I am.
You can really tell that when you're on the stage.
Thank you.
Lisa, thank you so much for coming to talk to us.
It's my pleasure. Do you see why I wanted to wait until after the...
Yeah.
Because otherwise we couldn't be sat here for this long.
So. Oh, I don't know. I know right on time, like the back of my hand. So
No. Before we went on stage, I was getting ready.
Yeah.
And you called...
You were putting your shoes on.
I was putting my shoes on and I was like, I could come and talk to you, but then I'll have to rush off on... So I just
thought... This was perfect. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. No, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You too, all of you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Shout Out News, welcome along. In shocking developments, Bristol Pride have revealed that civil servants were prohibited from participating in this year's Pride March because of the organisation's perfectly legal and legitimate criticism of government policy towards transgender people. In a press release, Bristol Pride take up the story, explaining that civil servants were told that the Cabinet Office has withdrawn permission for their staff CS network to attend Bristol Pride's parade. Despite being registered to attend, Bristol Pride were advised by a member of the Civil Service Network on Friday the 10th of July, the day before the festival, that they could not attend this year in an official capacity. This also comes after the withdrawal of staff from Belfast Pride and other events in the UK. Though not originally revealed why, it has now been revealed that this is because of Bristol Pride raising concerns over the EHRC guidance and its impact on the trans, non-binary, femme and butch communities, and standing up for the community its right in the heart of the values of the organisation. Criticism has been levelled at the guidance for being unworkable, following feedback from the community and many businesses affected by it, and citing that it would also cause significant economic harm. At the time of public statements from Bristol Pride on the release of the EHRC guidance, it was still in its draft format and also was being challenged by politicians directly. It does not pass into effect until the 5th of August, and as such, it is not official government policy. Well, there's more on the Bristol Pride website and on the Shout Out website that you can follow on the news feed. Now, staying with trans rights, the monthly newspaper Workers' Power, Trotskyist Monthly, reports from the PCS Trade Unions Conference, from where a rank-and-file fightback is underway in defence of transgender colleagues. The Public and Commercial Services Union, that is the PCS, has formally opposed the 2025 Supreme Court judgment concerning the definition of sex in the Equality Act. The decision comes after a year in which the union's leadership had stepped back from previously supporting positions on trans rights, and it marks a clear indication that many members and activists want the trade union to push back against legal developments they see as threatening trans inclusion. Campaigners within the Labour movement have argued that the matter cannot be left to lawyers or official guidance alone and must be taken up by the trade union movement itself. Two brothers have been sentenced to life in prison for the murder of Anthony Littler, a 45-year-old civil servant who was killed in an alleyway in East Finchley in North London more than 42 years ago. Michael Stewart, who is aged 57, and his brother Anthony Stewart, at the age of 60, were convicted of the murder following a trial at the Old Bailey. On Friday, the 10th of July, Anthony Stewart was sentenced to a minimum of 15 years, whilst his brother received a minimum of 10 years. The brothers were aged just 15 and 18 at the time of the murder on the 1st of May 1984. Mr. Littler, who worked for HM Customs and Excise, had spent the evening at a meeting for the Society for the Preservation of Beers from the Wood at a pub in Carshalton in Surrey. He left friends at closing time and travelled home by train. As he walked down a narrow footpath beside a railway line, a shortcut towards his flat, he was struck twice over the head with blunt weapons. He was found later with two skull fractures and a catastrophic brain injury. The prosecution told the court that the brothers had a history of targeting men they believed to be gay, describing it as a habit or hobby that they enjoyed doing. Michael Stewart had allegedly boasted about the killing to others, and the court heard that the brothers referred to the attack as a queer bashing. The judge, Mrs. Justice Cutts, noticed that there was no evidence that Mr. Littler was gay. He was a victim regardless of his sexuality. The breakthrough came in 2013 when the brother's younger sibling, who was 10 years old at the time of the murder, came forward to police following a family argument. And finally, the top transgender blog Erin in the Morning has some good news from the US women's rugby movement. A women's team in the United States is refusing to comply with a federal directive that would exclude trans athletes from competing, instead vowing to keep playing until they are physically removed from the pitch. The Baltimore Ferals, a Division III side in Maryland, have attracted nationwide attention for their stance against what they describe as transphobic interference from the Trump administration. Christina Robinson, a forward for the Ferals, made her position clear in an interview with a local news outlet called The Banner. "I'm ready to keep playing rugby until they drag me off the field," she said. "You can prize the ball out of my cold, dead hands." The team's defiance comes after USA Rugby, the sport's national governing body, adopted a policy in February that restricts participation in women's competitions to those assigned female at birth. The move followed mounting pressure from the Trump administration. Despite this, the Ferals, who play under the Baltimore Flamingos Club, a group that explicitly welcomes LGBTQ rugby players, have refused to sideline their trans teammates. And they are far from alone. According to the Banner, the Ferals recently faced another side that also includes trans players, and both teams agreed not to report one another, rendering the ban meaningless in regional fixtures. Well, well done to them, and keep up the good work. There's more on the rugby policies on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt. So that's the shout-out news for this week. You can find more content and analysis at our website all the time, 24 hours a day, at www.shoutoutradio.lgbt. And we'll be back with shout-out news again this week. For shout-out news on a very warm Bristol Thursday evening, I've been Terry Starr.
Shout out news.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Sol and All Night Trust. Absolutely loving a bit of the new Afro Soul House.
I love it.
Feels quite spiritual, doesn't it? Very haunting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really, really love it. If nobody or if anybody out there hasn't heard of Sol, her name is S-O-L, then full stop, and that'll bring her up on all music platforms.
A lot of it's coming out, new stuff is coming out of South Africa at the moment, but also from London nightclubs as well.
Well, she lives in London, doesn't
yeah,
she,
Sol? Yeah, she does. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should try and get her on.
Now, there are slight gaps in the next interview because we needed to go through an interpreter, but really interesting chat.
You said that just as I put the mics live then, too.
Oh, whoopsie. Apologies. Sorry from me.
So, now, a familiar face. I'm sure we've seen you here for many years in the past, haven't we?
Oh, many, many, many years. I think I have possibly been here for 15 years this
wow.
year.
Wow.
Right. Wow. Sorry, there will be I a know. Delay.
Old Queen. Yes, now, old Queen.
We ought to explain. So one of the biggest things that happens at Bristol Pride is they are amazing at the accessibility. And there's a whole team that do sign language across all the different stages. And we're being joined by one of the signers now and an interpreter. So if you hear a delay, it is because we are talking via interpreter who is talking back. Because obviously, being deaf and radio aren't two things that tend to go together.
No, I wouldn't have said so. I mean, there's always a way, though. There's always, if there's a will, there's a way. And
there
obviously
is.
We've got a very beautiful interpreter with us.
Oh, and you repeated that.
Well, absolutely. I know that's definitely something she'd like to repeat. However, I will keep my mouth shut because I'm sure there are a lot of questions coming my way.
Well, I just want to repeat one thing that you said just before we put the mics up then. You were saying Bristol is one of the ones that does the most amazing job of this. Is that because you have experience with other ones?
Okay, so firstly, I am a deaf person. I've been, you know, my experience of the world, not just this country, is that there are many, many barriers. Yeah. And being a deaf lesbian, I've got double the barriers. So I think with any Pride festival that I could go to, there's always going to be double those barriers. So having Darren here, the CEO, he's looked at the double barriers that I face as a deaf lesbian, and I think he felt awful about them, and he wanted to make sure that those barriers could be reduced and removed. So that's why he's brought in this team of interpreters. It started off very small, and it's got bigger and bigger and bigger. And this year is actually a groundbreaking year because we have got a deaf interpreter for the first time on the Bristol Pride main stage. So that is really a wonderful thing to see.
Wow. Can I just say that when you're watching the main act, you can't help but watch the signing because the moves that are going on there, do you actually rehearse or is it just natural movement?
Okay, so are we talking about from a deaf perspective or the interpreter's perspective?
From a viewer's perspective, so the crowd.
Okay, fabulous, no problem. So as a deaf person, my eyes are like a fish. So I can see everything to the left of me and everything to the right, and I'm looking at my interpreter and I'm looking at the performer. I've got 360 vision. So for me, it feels incredibly natural to look at the performer and the interpreter. However, it's not just a normal interpreter that you're seeing on the stage. These are professional, skilled interpreters that integrate dancing. They listen to the music in advance. You know, some of them receive the information in advance. But I was booked back in January, and these interpreters were booked back in January.
Wow.
So I sent them the set list, they rehearsed, they read the lyrics, they listened to the music again and again and again, and they got themselves ready for today.
Gosh, so it's not a 5-minute thing then, there's an awful lot of effort.
No, definitely not, not a 5-minute thing.
But people will watch you out there, they have no idea that that goes on behind the scenes. It just goes to show how much effort goes into making Pride so special for everyone.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is one of the most normal feelings I can experience, really. Sometimes I'll go to an event and I'll feel left out. I feel like I'm not accessing the full event. It's not always worth me being there. Whereas at Bristol Pride, I always feel welcome.
Yeah.
I feel like for once in my life, I am a normal person. You know, I know I am normal. I know I am just deaf, but it's having that access. It's being able to say hello to people. It's being able to set things up and to get this access out there. And it's such an amazing day for everyone.
And secretly between us, is it nice to be on the stage and get to dance as well?
Well, I'm unfortunately not very often on the stage.
Oh, are you? I'm sure I've seen you on the stage before in previous years.
Oh, really?
No?
Oh, no, I think, yeah, maybe you must be thinking of a twin of mine. But no, that's not generally my remit. But, you know, it's part of it. I'm hoping that people are going to listen to this radio broadcast and, you know, understand that, you know, in coming to a festival should be straightforward for everyone.
Yes.
It should be accessible for everyone. Yes. It's no more effort to book the interpreters, really. You know, I've got 11 interpreters here today. I've coordinated all of it myself. So that has meant that I've just been a one-person team booking everything. We had interpreters at the comedy night, and it meant that deaf people could go to the comedy night and actually experience things in the same way. I think in the past, deaf people have sat in the audience and people thought, gosh, what a miserable bitch. but now I can laugh at the same time.
So can you swear in BSL then?
Please don't repeat, okay? Because we are live on
that. I'm not telling you that. There's many, many signs.
I mean, I know that one.
Oh, that's an old sign, that one. Where have you learned that one from?
I had some deaf friends when I was 18, 19. And it was back when the community was a lot smaller and things were not as equal as they are now. And we used to go down the Queen Shilling back then. And to include them, we learned, they taught us sign language so that we could interact with them. I'm really bad and really rusty now. But the first thing they started us off with was just the alphabet and how to say your name. So you could at least try and be, you know, inclusive and involved. And I won't lie, the one thing that was great in the Shilling when I was 19 was you could ask what drink someone wanted right from the other side using sign language.
Absolutely. Yeah, brilliant. Exactly. It is. There's no shouting, no, is there? No. It's a very peaceful life. And it's one of the benefits of sign language. It's not just for deaf people. It's for hearing people as well.
Yeah.
It's fun to learn and we can communicate. Yes. We can have a laugh. So, you know, do you want to go to the pub now?
I would love to. I would love to. Yeah, yeah. Someone's got to take down the marquees, unfortunately. But
oh,
afterwards.
That's fine. No problem. I'll buy you a drink at the end. So, it'll be water. Yeah.
But, I mean, we do have to point out, it's not just the interpreters either. They go to a huge effort of pride, don't they? There's ramps everywhere and they've put all the tracks out everywhere for everyone who's disabled as well. And there's quiet spaces. So, you know, I think they pride themselves on trying to be so inclusive for everyone across the board.
Yeah, completely agree. Couldn't agree more. We've got big screens, we've got interpreters on the screen, we've got access areas for people in wheelchairs, for deaf people. Everyone is welcome here. There's no barriers for anybody.
It's a shame every festival doesn't have what Bristol Pride has.
No, yeah. It is. It's a massive shame.
Yeah.
Because I think it is a case of bringing in the right people sometimes, the right representative. So bringing in a deaf coordinator like myself, bringing in an organisation that have that representation, those contacts within the community, they're the experts. They're the people that you can rely on. I'm that expert.
Right. How are you doing? Are you filling gaps in? Because you're talking a lot, but her hands aren't moving that much. So do you interpret and fill gaps?
Well, no, I'm actually cleverer than the interpreter in this instance. So the interpreter sits here looking pretty and translating. So it's very much similar as like English to French.
Yeah.
So if you were to have that translation, it would be an impartial translation. So whatever the interpreter is saying, that's my words.
Ah, good. I like it.
Good answer. Now, another 15 years? Do you think?
It depends. It depends.
But you'll definitely be here next year. We'll see you next year.
Maybe. I'm not going to say no, but I'm not going to say yes. We'll leave it as a maybe for now, and we'll see if Darren can twist my arm.
Well, I know there are a lot of people who are exceptionally grateful for the amazing work you put in to make this an experience that so many deaf people can enjoy as well. So from us and from them, a huge thank you for all the work you do. It's really appreciated.
Oh, thank you very much. And thank you very much for inviting me to have this chat.
It's lovely to have you on the radio, yes.
Thank you very much.
So I think Black Box is up next. They're actually running late. They were due on about 5 minutes ago. So we'll go to a track, and as soon as they're coming up, we will let you know. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. Back in a bit.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Second Voice and Let Me Be. Your current fave, isn't it, Ez?
Yeah, one of. And the other one. So I'm glad they both made it into the show.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I think they're amazing. And I find them really relaxing. Very ethereal at times.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Oh, hello.
Odyssey. You've seen it, haven't you, Terry?
It's very, very good. And... I mean, not having had a classical education or a public school education, I haven't actually read Homer's Odyssey, but I'm told that it is very close to the actual ancient Greek sources.
Don't you think there's a little bit of irony going on because of Elliot Page in it, and you've got the TERFs and the gender criticals yes. all piling on to yes. Elliot because yes. they're a trans man?
Yeah.
Don't you think that's ironic? Well,
there's a meme, isn't there, Ezra, yeah. which has appeared. What does that say?
I'll take out the swear. Man, if you're annoyed Nolan put an LGBTQ person in his fictional movie about ancient Greeks, you're going to be livid when you learn about actual ancient Greeks.
Yeah. You know, the ancient world knew all about gender diversity, it's sexual orientation, variation.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
and people upset yeah. that people of colour are in it.
There is Helen of Troy is an African woman, and of course the Greeks traded with...
It's
African
not about colour
yeah,
or
no,
gender
no.
or sexuality. It's so much bigger, so much... sorry, not much bigger. It's there's so many layers to it.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, every person that's been cast looks like they're going to be absolutely sensational.
And they are
it's
sensational.
It's got nothing to do with being a trans man.
Well, no, it's no, mythology.
Yeah, and
well,
also,
it's mythology
like,
and from a society which had very, very different... And often yeah. quite more open ideas
very
about
open.
Gender and sexuality yeah. than our own.
They had a huge trading area, didn't they, the Greeks?
Yeah, I mean, the Cornish were trading tin with them, and the Scots yeah. were trading, you know, with them. Yeah. And,
the African, know, North African, Africa, so the Arab yeah. countries, then further in.
We now know. I mean, remember, only a couple of hundred years later, the Romans had an embassy in China. You know, you forget that these ancient civilizations knew of each other's existence yeah. and the Silk yeah. Roads and everything which linked yeah. east and west. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's massive, massive.
Yeah,
you know,
but look at the Venetian traders as well. That was massive. Yeah. Venice was the center of the whole of Europe for trading.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I don't understand is nobody's forcing anyone to go and watch it. So you can just transfer. So you can relax and take a breath.
Because it's not, you don't because have you to see it.
No. You know, just watch Harry Potter one more time and be quiet.
So it is funny, but Elliot Page is sensational in it.
Yeah.
Matt
I love
Damon
him.
Is
Always
sensational
loved him.
In it. Everybody is sensational in it. It's a great story.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not you're familiar with the ancient Greek myths.
Don't say too much. I'm going to see it next week.
Everybody yeah. dies.
Well, there is that to it as well. The special effects are tremendous.
Okay.
Yeah, tremendous.
Can't wait to see it. I really can't. Yeah. And Elliot, I don't think you're listening, but if you are, love you.
Yeah. And TERFs and GCs, get back in your boxes.
Yeah.
It's just not worth your breath.
Indeed. No. Indeed, indeed.
Oh,
that's it, I think, isn't
neck.
It? That's the outro music. Yeah. Come on.
Okay,
come
right. On.
And we are out of here.
Now, didn't that go quick? But you can join us same time, same channel next week.
Check us out online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.